No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Give the gift that everyone wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Save on USDA-certified tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, perfectly aged ribeyes, gourmet sides, and decadent desserts, delivered right to their door. Skip the stress. Order now at omahasteaks.com. That's omahasteaks.com, and use code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout to get an extra $35 off. Hurry, these deals won't last. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Remind me of that. Let's see. Right there.
Oh, this is cool.
This is the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. How are we doing today on a Friday? Oh, my gosh, Mason Woods. This is the last Friday without high school football in AHSAA. Ooh, and there was some high school football on my TV last night. Did you watch any of that Buford game?
I saw some clips from it. I saw a gentleman who, and of course, now I'm blanking.
Obliterated.
His name. Yeah, he's committed to Army, running back Dion. I can't remember his last name now, but yeah. Took that poor child's head clean off.
Ooh, boy. Football is back, and we are ready to talk about it on the Joe Gaither Show right here on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are hanging out with us on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You're with us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon. We are live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. Call Derek today for your insurance at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there insuring your home, life, and auto, your renter's insurance, your boater's insurance. That young man from the young man in the backfield needed some insurance. His offensive line let him down with the big old hole right there, and the linebacker came through and just obliterated him. So it was a great night last night of football. We're going to get into this weekend's football. Alabama football camp is still got one more week next week, but really – and truly, it's over tomorrow. No. You can't. The team can't hear that, but you can. Tomorrow is the second scrimmage, and then it will be all basically Florida State prep and starting to layer in concepts that Alabama is going to use over the first couple of weeks. I'm sure there's going to be some Georgia sprinkled into there, a little bit of Wisconsin, a little bit of ULM sprinkled in over the next week. I wonder if they'll do the old Coach Saban and spend one day in the last day of fall camp on each of the first four opponents. That way, when game week starts, they kind of have a little bit of familiarity. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're here towards the back end of fall camp, and we're ready to talk about it. We're going to talk about tomorrow's scrimmage a decent amount. And as we promised you, we're going to talk about Florida State, but we're going to talk about the Florida State Seminoles offensive line. We also have a voicemail, and we love our voicemails. You can call the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. I think Dax is rather upset with you, Mason, but that's okay. We appreciate Dax calling in. We appreciate you guys calling in. Whether you love the show, hate the show, whatever you like, you can leave us a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800. So that's going to be the docket for today. We want to encourage you to tune in to All Things Bama Podcast. Mason probably got something today or no?
Yeah.
All right.
Things to talk about today.
Absolutely. So we're going to be doing that as well today. So if If you're looking for a little bonus content from us, you can find it on the All Things Bama podcast on your favorite podcast platforms. That dulcet voice, that beautiful face is Mason Woods. You can find Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. Good morning, Mason. How we doing?
I'm doing good this morning. Doing good. I'm looking forward to getting into the show today. You know, I had a fun day yesterday. We'll probably talk about it maybe a little on this show. I know I'm definitely going to get into it a bit on the All Things Bama podcast a little later, but I have a new favorite commit or recruit in the 2027 class that I will be excited to talk to you about. So little preview there.
Did you write about him this week?
I did.
Okay, then I'm not going to spoil it. You need to go to BamaCentral.com. Check him out. This fella has a great name.
Familiarize yourself with him.
Yeah, great, great name. And sounds like a bad dude running the football. So excited to talk about that with Mason when he brings that up on the All Things Bama podcast. Let's get right into it, Mason. Let's jump right into tomorrow's scrimmage. It's the second scrimmage.
I have one thing really quick.
Oh, yeah, please.
Are we going to just at all overreact to the Hugh Freeze yelling at Jackson Arnold video? Because it seems like everybody is. It looks like a very normal practice clip to me, if I'm being honest.
He was all, dang it, Jackson.
Get the ball out or whatever it was.
Seemed like he was just trying to make a point.
Yeah, I saw so many Bama fans trying to like dunk on that as if it was any sort of actual evidence. Now, look, I don't believe in this Auburn team just as much as the next guy, but that is not really any points in that column for me. That looked like a very normal practice. I imagine Kalen DeBoer's had many of those conversations with all three of Alabama's quarterbacks throughout fall camp.
Let's see. I'm watching it now just to refamiliarize myself. I did see it kind of scroll across the timeline.
From what I recall, it's you know, they're running a little few short routes. Jackson Arnold kind of holds until I guess they blow the play dead, and Hugh gets mad. Get the ball out! Throws his clipboard down. Yeah. And throws his visor down.
Yeah.
It looks pretty normal. That's what I mean. As far as I understand, that's just what a high level football practice looks like.
Yeah, no, Hugh's.
I'll take every opportunity I can to dunk on the Auburn Tigers, but I just don't really know that this is one. People, yeah. You know, we're really in the dead zone here, waiting on football, I guess.
Golly, amen to that. Next week is week zero, right?
I believe so.
Okay. Well, I'll be out at a high school football game next Friday, right here in West Alabama.
Are you gonna go watch it?
I don't. I got to wait on our man Gary Harris at WVUA 23 to give us the game of the week. So we'll be at some game. You know, it's usually been County High Central the last 2 years, the first game of the year. I haven't even looked at the schedules to see if they're playing, but that has been the game of the week the last 2 years, the first game of the year, and turned out the last 2 years to be great games, honestly. So we can keep that up, Gary, if that is on the schedule. You can find me on WVUA 23 Friday Night Football most Fridays this year. Some Fridays I'll be doing a little bit something different, but most Fridays this year we'll be doing that.
Yeah, I heard some tales in my one trip over to the, you know, media availability for practice two Saturdays ago now. I heard some tales of the rush that it is of you coming in drenched in sweat after a night of covering high school football and then having to very quickly prepare yourself to get on camera. I talked to Hunter Brantley about it a little bit. He was telling me some funny things. It seems like it's a bit hectic on those nights.
Well, 2 years ago it was really, really hectic. Now last year was pretty smooth most of the time. But 2 years ago, they started the games in the first week, an hour later, because of the heat. And it was so brutal. I was like swimming. And so I'm running in. I'm like 5 minutes away from the hit. And I've got all my like nice clothes, and I had a towel, and I'm just toweling myself as I'm letting me. Like, and you know, security guard, do you work here? No, I don't work here. You can't be in there. Oh, well, I'm waiting on somebody to come let me in. Da, da, da. You can't be in here without a badge. Well, sir, somebody's coming to tell you. Do you have your badge and your ID? No, I'm just. And just dealing with that for about 3 minutes. And then one of the students comes in, lets you in, and he's still, you can't go in there. And I'm like, I'm going in there. Like,
hey, buddy, mind your business.
I'm going. Do you see this guy who came and opened the door, the locked door to let me in, the one I called? And so then it's like, change real fast. Mm. wiped out. That night was really hectic. and then you got back on, walked right in, and Gary's like, "Well, what happened in the game tonight?" And I'm like, oh.
"No, not even a second to catch your breath."
It was great.
The joys of live broadcasting.
It was great. It's great. I love it. So that's the only time the game started an hour later. In the last 2 years, because it was so brutal. Thankfully,
I'm surprised that has not been going around this year at all. It's been extremely hot. Now, given the last, I don't know, a few weeks or so, we have gotten a bit of a break from it. But.
Yeah, it's gotten into a normal range over the last week or two. So that's good. And yeah, Hugh, Jackson Arnold, do we see Deuce Knight this year?
I think we do.
Because of injury, hopefully not. We don't want that on you.
I think they're going to try to do
because of frustration, or
I think they're going to try to do a weird, just like, hey, we got packages for Deuce Knight kind of
the Justin Fields Georgia patch.
I think they're going to try to do that kind of stuff. Now, I could certainly see the situation where, you know, about halfway through the season, it does reach a point of frustration with Jackson Arnold, and it does just become, all right, Deuce, get out there and let's see what you got.
Get out there and throw to Cam Coleman.
But I think the first at least half of the season, it's going to be mostly Jackson Arnold, and then, oh, here's a couple Deuce Knight packages sprinkled in, and I don't really see a whole lot coming of them other than just he's going to run the ball some.
Yeah, the Justin Fields packages that were at Georgia that year were a waste of Georgia's time.
Yes. If you got two quarterbacks, you got no quarterbacks. I mean, it's a cliche statement, but it is extremely true. I don't think I have ever one time seen a two quarterback system work out for a team.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Somebody, I was scrolling through different comment sections the other day. Somebody went on after Ty Simpson got named the starter. And I think Coach Kellen DeBoer is trying to throw off Florida State in the first week.
I love that.
It's gonna be Ty Simpson and Keelan Russell in the backfield at the same time. And I thought
Brailsford gets to pick who he snaps to.
Like, buddy,
not even they know who the ball's going.
Buddy, easy, easy, easy.
That would be what a way to build a team. That would be.
We got a three-man quarterback rotation. Two of them are on the field at the same time. Like, I've always, when I was in middle school, I would draw up plays with two quarterbacks out there.
Well, because it's very flashy, and you think, like, on paper, it should work.
Yeah, it should definitely work.
But football is not played on paper.
We can do a little read option, and when I hand it to the first quarterback, he can run out behind the tackle, roll out, and throw the football.
Yes.
Be great.
The likelihood that you have two quarterbacks with the exact same skill set is zero. That never, you know, one of them is always the passer, one is always the runner. There, you never have two that are the exact same. So, you know, whenever one's getting the ball, you know, 9 times out of 10 what that one's doing.
Oh man, our man Everett Osmer, we missed you, sir. We appreciate you commenting. He goes, the newest member of Crimson Tide Sports Network, our Joe Gaither, played by Mason Woods, is partnering Katie Windham, the sideline reporter. That would be a heck of a crew, but no one would listen.
We'd throw to Katie so much.
Yeah, it'd be good. Katie, what do you see down there? Katie, tell us what you see down there. Speaking of that, I think he's bringing this up because Corey Reamer was named the new sideline reporter. Corey has been a part of Crimson Tide Sports Network for a minute, doing Crimson Tide Rewind on Mondays. I think is what it was his project, or what was his kind of lane that he was in. But he, look, former Alabama outside linebacker, defensive end, edge rusher kind of type, was there with the first couple of Saban teams. So that'll be great. He'll be really good at it. He'll be experienced at it, and it'll work out really, really well for Crimson Tide Sports Network. And it is not we wish it were, but it is not us. It is Chris Stewart and them boys really giving you the sights and sounds of Alabama football. Roger Hoover, Chris Stewart, is John Parker Wilson going to be back on that?
I don't know. I haven't seen that he's not going to be.
Perfect.
So I don't know.
Perfect. I thought John Parker did a good job last
year. Yeah, I thought he did too. So. That'd be a great job, and I'd be honored to have it, obviously. I don't know that I'm cut out for it. I think I'd be a little overwhelmed in there. You know, the way that they are able to convey what's happening in front of their eyes, I think there's a lot of skill in that I do not necessarily
Chris
possess.
Is amazing. You can close your eyes and listen to Chris and listen to the crew and know what's going on. It was Tyler Watts last year, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
that's right.
And he did very well also. So, good luck, Corey. Great job. Congratulations. Yeah.
That'll be a good crew.
Maybe they'll get their first dry run tomorrow in the Alabama scrimmage. if I were them, that's what I would ask for. Hey, coach, can we just do a dry run, not broadcasting anybody? Just all the everything's unplugged, but we just need to practice.
Yeah, one person's recording, though, and we'll get that recording.
Well, I always thought that what was it? What year was it? Was it Saban? Was it Saban's last year or Saban's first year? It's the COVID year. I think it was the COVID year that I thought, man, they need to Eli Gold this scrimmage, right? And just broadcast it and sell it as, you know, what they ought to do is sell it. Yay, Alabama, you buy the game for $10 and people can listen to tomorrow's scrimmage for $10. And like, you can't see it. There's no cameras. You can
listen to a live stream or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And it is up to Chris's artistic ability, and he's very good at it.
And so they've got a member of the staff hawking over his shoulder, you know.
Don't say that part. Dump button.
he's like, don't
say that number. Don't say that name. But no, Chris would give you a good picture.
Yes.
But you would be able to buy these closed scrimmages for $10, $15, $20 a broadcast, and it goes right into the Alabama kitty. And when it was, I don't mean to be, in the last few years of Eli Gold, you wouldn't have known what's going on. You'd have listened and he'd have been, touchdown Alabama, and you'd be like, great, we scored a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Who was it? Where was it? And you wouldn't have great details. So it would have been perfect. You would have still had everything behind the iron curtain. Chris will give you a bit more.
Yeah.
Absolutely, we'll give you a bit more right now, just a younger, fresher look. But yeah, you need to do a dry run this weekend with Chris and Tyler Watts and the new sideline reporter. Let him go down and interview Courtney Morgan. Let him go down and interview some GA, like some people who are not like directly yes. involved in the scrimmage. Yeah. Right. And have a fake broadcast that Alabama, how many people would pay that $15?
A whole lot. Yes. I mean, how many just like, even Florida State people would maybe pay for that.
Yes.
Like, you know, how many Georgia people would pay for that? I mean, I don't, there's no telling. You know, they'd have a copy for every staff in the SEC immediately.
Right. And all the GAs would have to go listen to mm-hmm. it. And they'd have to they'd have to pause Chris every couple of minutes. He said, what formation? Let's draw it out.
That would be awful.
He said, strong power eye. Oh, he said, shotgun, you know, 3x1.
Everybody close your eyes. Just picture it.
Right.
We can all see it. The amount of grunt work that those GAs do, that's a thankless job.
Short pass out to the right. Was that a slant? Was that a flat route? Was that a whip route? What do you think he did? Was it a drag from across the field?
Yeah, that would. Ooh-wee.
I think
that paints like that illustrates perfectly why this would be not a big deal though to do, because what information is anybody really going to get that's going to give them any sort of competitive advantage over you from listening to a broadcast of a scrimmage? They're not hearing what formation you're in. They're not hearing, you know, what kind of coverages the defense are running or anything
No,
they're hearing Isaiah Horton caught a 20-yard pass from Tyson. Like, that gives you nothing from a scheme standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's no harm in doing that.
Just, interception, you know. Bray Hubbard. Oh, was he in man coverage? Was Ty Simpson staring him down the whole way? Was it just a good play? You know, you'll get a couple more details. Oh, sure. He jumped in front of the wide receiver. Ah, you know,
but you're not going to get any sort of, you know, nitty gritty.
That's the way that I would juice up the NIL kitty before the season starts. Yay, Alabama, if you're listening, which I know you are, speaking of this, and before we actually like dive deep into the scrimmage, you were in the, yeah. Do you pay attention to the lesser group chat that I sent yesterday, 2 days ago? Oklahoma offering tickets to, they're playing Michigan this year, right?
Yeah.
That's what it Oklahoma is. And Michigan. And the Oklahoma Athletics Department is offering tickets to the post game press conference for 800. Was it 600 or 800?
I think it was six something.
650 or 625. You can pay $625 to go sit in the post game press conference. What?
I mean, I can't ask no questions. Can't make no noise. You get to sit there and be quiet.
If you're
dumb enough to pay for that, more power to you, buddy. You get that video in 10 minutes.
Yeah. On every outlet. Oklahoma Sooners on SI. Go check them out. They do good work. They will get you the video.
I have no problem with this. My problem arises when they start telling people, hey, for an extra $1,000, you get two questions.
That's what's going to happen.
That is what's going to happen, and that's when it becomes an issue.
Hey, coach, you went for it on third down, and you know, why didn't you play my favorite player?
Exactly.
Coach, I really like Johnny Smith. Johnny Smith needs more playing time.
Yeah.
Coach, you didn't pull Billy Smith, Billy Jones. Quarterback Billy Jones played bad today. Why didn't you pull it?
I think if we can stop it before we get to that point, I'm fine. I have no problem with this. You let 25, 30 fans in there. However many you can fit. Hell, as long as they can't say anything, as long as they can't make any noise in that press conference, fine by me.
I'll tell you, the visiting press room at Oklahoma last year was beautiful.
Was it?
It was beautiful. They had it was basically a TV studio that they did their basically post game wrap up show. But past the TV studio was the room, and they were setting up in the TV studio before, and we all walked through it. Alabama did their stuff, the players came and did their stuff, and we were working. And by the time we like finished working, they directed us out a different door because they were doing a post game. It was like Crimson Tide Sports Network's like post game. It looked like a short TV show that they were, oh, Alabama, we beat Alabama, we're bowl eligible, blah, 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 blah. And like, it was beautiful. It was really...
That's a really nice stadium.
Yeah, it really was. It was a great trip. And so, but for $625, you can go sit and listen to us dummies ask questions.
Yeah, I want to know how many people they're going to trick into buying that, thinking that they'll be able to ask a question. You know, they'll just immediately assume... Oh, I'm going to the press conference. I can ask questions. And then they're going to get in there and raise their hand. And put your hand down. What are you doing?
I feel bad for our friends at the Oklahoma side. If you are a Billy reporter and you raise your hand and they say, and they end up, we'll get to you, Billy. We'll get to you, Billy. We'll get to you, Billy reporter. But Johnny Fan has to ask his question first.
That, or they just think you're a fan and tell you to put your hand down. Don't even take you seriously as a reporter. Yeah, no. Like I said, I think it's a great idea. It's easy, quick way to trick dumb people into giving you a lot of money. But just don't let them ask any questions. That's my, you know, that still has to remain the same thing. It still has to be a professional setting where journalists and reporters get to ask the coach questions about what they just watched, and you can't let fans infiltrate that.
We'll see what happens. We'll see how many people they get buying their tickets to the Oklahoma-Michigan press conference. No tickets available to the press conference tomorrow. Coach DeBoer talking at 2:00 tomorrow. So if you are wanting to see the video, check us out on Bama Central's YouTube channel about 2:21. If they're on time. They were on time last week. They were about 3 minutes behind the target time, and it was 10-minute interview, 10-15-minute press conference, and we got it right up there on the Bama Central YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe to us. You can see great videos this week already of Ty Simpson, Kane Womack, Ryan Grubb. We talked to Xavier Brown, Deontay Lawson. We talked to Jam Miller, Josh Cuevas. They can all be found right there on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody. The subscriber numbers are going up, 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 up because of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, not because of the Ty Simpson press conference. Duh. Everybody wants to say, hey, Ty gave a pretty good press conference.
He did. I enjoyed it. I can appreciate the bit of like anytime any player, like, you can tell they're a little nervous that for whatever reason that makes me I like that about a player, because it's just like, oh yeah, this guy's not really used to being in front of cameras.
Yeah, he gave a good 9-10 minute press conference talking about his faith, talking about staying in the course, and talking about what he wanted to do. And I'm gonna give my all to Tide. He didn't say I'm gonna die for Alabama, but he said I'm gonna die for Alabama, basically. Which great, that's what you want. So tomorrow, ideally, everybody stays healthy. Golly, that's the first step. That's the first and only step tomorrow. Stay healthy. I'm going to be really curious to get a report on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
That's my main take. That's my main take. Will Jaden Roberts be playing right guard again, or will it be Geno Vandermark? And if it is Jaden Roberts, where does Geno fit in? Does he back up Parker Brailsford? Is he the immediate backup to Cam Dewberry, or is he starting over Cam Dewberry at left guard? I mean, we've been doing this for the last 4 months now. What's going to be the offensive line? And really and truly, Ty can be amazing or can be really cruddy. It doesn't matter unless the offensive line is quality. I do think he's going to play well throughout the year, but he's going to have to be protected. If you're getting action off your right-hand side because your right tackle is not up to snuff, golly, it's going to be a long year for Ty Simpson. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. You can say Cam Newton. You can say Peyton Manning. You can say Tom Brady. Pick your favorite all-time quarterback. If their right tackle is not good, or if your right guard is playing like a softy man, then you're going to have a lot of trouble, especially if you don't have a run game because you can't get any push. So to me, that's where it all starts tomorrow in the scrimmage. So what does the offensive line look like? We heard at the last Saturday press conference with Coach Kalen DeBoer about, the offense got some early runs in. The offense got some early run fits, but the defense really did step up. I asked Kane Womack about that, about the run fits. Let's find that right there. Here's my quick take.
On Saturday, you talked about early run fits maybe being a little bit of an issue. How do you see the defensive run fits?
I think overall have been really, really solid, really positive. And I think the different variations of run game that we're going to see throughout the season, I think we have spent an obscene amount of time, right, making sure that, you know, different variations of run game that we're ready for and geared up for, that we have answers.
First, I love the word. We spent an obscene amount of time. Keep going, Kane.
Answers, right, to those things as well. But in the scrimmage at the beginning there, we had a couple a misfit that turned into two missed tackles, which is uncharacteristic of us. We were fortunate enough to be able to get stopped there in the goal line, which is great, but never really should have happened in the first place, right? If we're operating, you know, efficiently in the run game. And so those are things that we just got to continue to harp on and work. And that same call that we have ran this week, our guys have done a really nice job on. So that's what you want to see.
So I'm curious to see if the offensive line can open up more run, you know, expose more issues in the Alabama run game. You know, I do believe Kane Womack and that Alabama's defense have spent an obscene amount of time in run fits because of how
bad.
Yeah, bad at times, good at other times, sure. But inconsistent. Really, really awful in some instances. And could be really good.
Roller coaster last year.
Yeah, exactly. If I were an offensive coordinator, I would have been, hey, just run the ball and see what happens. Just run the ball. We're going to run it four times. They're going to bust one of them. You know, they might stop us for a 1 yard gain or a negative 2 yard play for three of them, but we'll bust one of them.
And that's how it went.
Yeah.
I want to see if James Smith is back out there. I know he was not participating in the last scrimmage, you know, obviously. I think we all expect him to be a big part of that defensive line, defensive front. So I want to see if he gets back out there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just getting that set up. Go ahead.
I mean, that's really the biggest thing. I just want to see, or I guess hear, if he's going to be out there or not. Not really sure what his injury, I don't even know if it really, you could call it an injury, was. Maybe he was just kind of dinged up a little bit. So they thought it was best to keep him out of last week's scrimmage. But, you know, just want to hear if he gets back on the field or not.
Definitely with you there. Because I do think that is a little part of some of these early run fit misses in the last scrimmage. I'm just really curious about the play up front. Because I'm kind of going, I've kind of grown to a confidence level in Ty and the skill positions. Yeah. And I think the running backs are quality enough to where if you have adequate offensive line play, you're going to have, oh, I love that Jam Miller fella. I love Daniel Mountain. I love Dre Washington. I love you, Richard. They're gonna get their runs. They're gonna get their yardage. They're quality players.
I'd like to know what we're gonna get out of the tight ends. Maybe, you know, we heard a little bit about Caleb Edwards this week. Nothing. His name was hot in the streets. Probably not much that we'll hear, but you know, I'm interested to just see what kind of role he carves out for himself, because I do think he is really the only kind of tight end in the room that gives you that real receiving threat. Everybody else seems like more of a
Marshall
block.
Pritchett?
Marshall Pritchett. You know, he's got good hands. Don't know that he's quite the same receiver Caleb Edwards is. But, you know, I
bet you by the time you play LSU, Caleb Edwards is going to be a factor in this offense.
That's what I'd like to see.
Not when you play Florida State in 2 weeks, and probably not when you go to Georgia in 6 weeks or so. Skills are not my favorite. Math and calendar work, when you combine them, terrible.
I'd like to see what he does this year. I think he can be very good. I think he can be just really also just add an extra layer of, you know, an extra security blanket for Ty there, an extra option.
Does Caleb Edwards begin his ascension when Alabama goes to Missouri? Oh, heck yeah. Philip is calling us. So we'll take his voicemail right there. Perfect. And we'll add that into the fray. We'll take that and add that into the fray. No, does Caleb Edwards begin his ascension and basically into a role in the offense, mm-hmm. that LSU game when Alabama goes to Missouri October 11? I think that's kind of...
I could see that. I could see it maybe a little earlier against one of these kind of cupcake teams early in the year.
Vandy, October 4.
Let's not give Vandy any bulletin board material that they don't already have, you know. Maybe Eastern Illinois, you know, a little early.
That one's like the second to last game.
Oh, wait. What's the...
ULM.
That's the one. Okay. Maybe ULM. I could see it, you know, I can just see it, you know, Alabama's already up 31-10, and then it's, oh, Caleb Edwards, 40-yard bomb up the seam for a touchdown. I can see it now, and everybody spends the next 6 weeks talking about, Caleb Edwards.
Let's make sure that let's write voicemail on here because he called for a second time. Maybe he doesn't. Unfortunately, our calls are not live, Philip. Leave a voicemail. I'll make that clear.
I think, you said it though, like the offensive line, I think, is the biggest thing that we're looking for at the scrimmage. Obviously, you know, it's just kind of what's up with Jaden Roberts. Nobody really knows. I know, you know, you kind of heard some rumors that maybe it was a concussion issue again. We don't know, just rumor. But just want to know where he is working into this offense, because I mean, we were, I think both of us kind of high on him, thought maybe if he played well enough this year, he could work his way into a pretty high draft pick. But if he's not going to be the starter, you know, maybe were we wrong about him? Did we kind of hitch our wagon to the wrong guy? Is Geno the guy that can play himself into being a high end draft pick? I don't know.
I don't know either. So we're going to be paying very close attention to the scrimmage tomorrow. We won't do our shenanigans about sneaking into the stadium, but I do have a couple of people, I think, Red Elephant Club members that, you know, tomorrow's the Red Elephant. Last week was the A Club. This week is Red Elephant Club. So we'll see if I can get a phone call with any of my Red Elephant Club members to find out what actually happened on Saturday. Let's turn to the voicemail line, and we'll go Dax voicemail. If Philip left a voicemail, which I hope you did, please do. He called twice, and maybe like sometimes it's our end. It's confusing that our calls aren't live. We'll play Dax's voicemail. If Philip leaves a voicemail right here, I'll bring that into the show, and then we'll hit a commercial, and then we'll talk about Florida State's offensive line. The way we're going to do this with Florida State over the next 2 weeks is talking about certain position groups. I figure, you know, when we did Know Your Enemy, we kind of glossed over everything pretty glossy. It was all Castellanos, all trash talk stuff, and that's fun, but let's talk about their offensive line, which has a lot of new pieces and, you know, was not good last year, so that's going to be the next, you know, 20-25 minutes of the show. So here's Dax on the voicemail line, 205-462-7340, extension 800, if you want to leave a voicemail, and I would love to hear from you.
What's up, guys? It is Dax. I'm sitting here listening to the Tuesday show on Thursday, naturally, because I am a little behind. I've had a very, very busy past couple weeks with a church camp, deep sea fishing trip, and then drill the next weekend. I just have not had time to really sit down and breathe and listen to Joe and Mason's beautiful voices. But Mason, okay. The Ty Simpson slander has turned into Ty Simpson hatred. You got to back off a little bit, buddy, because you have maybe a week left to finally turn to the Ty Simpson train. I want you to listen to this. This was spoken by the wonderful Alabama internet legend Jimmy Stein on the Cover Crimson podcast he did with Clint Lamb. Isaiah Horton, okay, last year, he was going to be the wide receiver one in Miami. He just played with Cam Ward, who obviously was like, you know, the first pick in the draft. He was the best quarterback last year out of all of them. So Isaiah Horton, he had Carson Beck coming in, who was obviously, like, he's a competent quarterback. He could throw the ball. Isaiah Horton literally could have gone anywhere he wanted to, anywhere. And he said, I want to play with my boy Ty Simpson.
This is not.
That's what Isaiah Horton did. And apparently Isaiah Horton is making a bunch of downfield catches. The explosiveness will definitely be there with Ty Simpson. I don't see where, like, I know he hasn't, like, put anything on tape. Besides, he had one scramble play against, wasn't it Western Kentucky
that
where he had to scramble out of the pocket and then just
do me pause it
down the field? And
no.
Okay. He's talking Isaiah Horton.
We'll let him cook. We'll let him cook here. But we haven't seen it on tape, period. That should be – that's all I've said.
Here we go. Keep going.
Like, put anything on tape. Besides, he had one scramble play against – wasn't it Western Kentucky where he had to scramble out of the pocket and then just chunked it down the field and Quavis freaking mossed those two people? Great. There's your explosive play. That was all I needed to see from Ty Simpson. It was, like, very – not exactly what Tua did against Vandy in that one game, but, you know, it showed flashes. All I needed to see was a flash. Ty Simpson's starting quarterback. Swallow the pill, buddy. It's okay. You're allowed to praise this man. But a week later, like a week from now, if you haven't praised him any, you are not allowed to say a single good word about this man. No praise towards Ty Simpson will be uttered out of Mason Woods' mouth. That is all I have. Y'all have a good one, boys, and Roll Tide. I love you both very much.
Roll Tide, Dax. We love you too. Mason, do you love him? Say you love him before you start.
Well, yeah, I mean, yes. I do. I have not once slandered Ty Simpson on this show. I have come on here and laid out very logical reasons as to why I'm not buying this hype train. No, not one person, Dax included here, has provided me with any bit of evidence to support the other side of the argument. So I will continue to stay on my side where I don't know, and I'm not going to buy into the hype. It's just like I didn't see it in high school, haven't seen it in college. Why are we believing it's there?
The high school huddle tape looks good.
He played against kids who, like, oh my God, he played against kids who are working desk jobs right now.
Married with three kids.
Yes, like he did nothing against no one.
Well, but it does look good. It looks flashy.
Cool. You know, Keelan Russell did that against the best competition in the country.
That's true. That's
Austin true. Mack did it against some of the best competition in the country in California.
Yeah, that's true.
And not to a private school, high school football in Tennessee, where your daddy coaches you.
Well, his dad doesn't coach him. His dad coaches a real college football team.
His dad coached him his whole life.
Privately. Not. He didn't game plan for
him. If you are sitting here and telling me that Ty Simpson did not play 18 years of daddy ball growing up, you're insane.
I don't know if I'll go that far. He definitely...
He played 12 years of daddy ball and then he realized, okay, he's actually all right.
Yeah, and then he
went... We don't have to... His dad doesn't have to convince us to make him quarterback.
Then he went to middle school and played and high school and played.
It's just
state
like...
State champion!
Folks, what are we doing here?
State champion!
What? Where is this hype coming from?
State champion.
Against nothing! He played against air!
State champion in Tennessee.
He basically played against air.
Waited his turn. You know what they told me on WNSB this week? They told me Ty Simpson's the only five-star to sit for 3 years and not start a game since like 1980-something, 60-something. It was a long time. When they said the year, I was like, what?
Why is that a good – why is that a point in his favor?
Because
– he's the only extremely talented quarterback to have to wait this long to play.
Sometimes when you are having a great meal – the slow cook is the best. The slow roasting of the, you know, the it's going to be tender.
There's nothing for him.
These highlights are going to fall off
the bone. That is a point against him.
These highlights are going
to
fall off.
The only five-star in the last 35 years that has had to wait this long to play.
These highlights are going to melt in your mouth.
You know why he was a five-star?
Because he was good.
I mean, we've talked at length about how this system works. Mm. You don't think Ty had the opportunity to go to every camp he wanted to because his daddy's a football coach?
Knowing how it works is a big part of it. Knowing how it works and knowing when to send it,
come on now.
When to go to certain camps.
Come on.
Oh yeah, I was.
I mean, what other 2-3A Tennessee high school football quarterbacks are getting ranked as five stars?
Only the great ones, like Ty Simpson.
Your argument is falling apart.
That's okay. He's going to end up being the third best quarterback in the SEC this year.
I hope so.
I'm shooting my shot.
I hope so. I've said it for eight months now.
Arch Lenoris and Ty. Arch Lenoris and Ty. That's what it's going to be.
I hope that's the case.
And you're going to have the crimson colored glasses full of people putting him at number one.
Yes.
But hook him. We're going Arch number one.
We'll see.
And nobody's going to remember Lenoris.
You know, I have never once slandered Ty Simpson. I've not said anything that is untrue about Ty Simpson on this show.
Well,
and you know, if I have Dax, please call back in and tell me.
There's your invitation, Dax. 205-462-7340, extension 800. If your name is Dax or anyone else who has watched the program for the whole summer, watching Mason Woods slander Ty Simpson.
We do have to address the Isaiah Horton portion of that.
Sure.
Ty Simpson had nothing to do with that decision.
Money, money, money.
Money? And which team has the most players in the NFL right now? Dax, it's the Alabama Crimson Tide. Where do you go if you want to go to the NFL, Dax? You go to the Alabama Crimson Tide. That is the only reason Isaiah Horton came to Alabama.
Man, I saw that Jameson Williams fellow transfer in there for 1 year and blow it up and go be a first-round pick.
You know who Miami's wide receiver one was last year, Xavier Restrepo? He went undrafted this year and is not going to make the Titans.
There's no way.
Almost certain he's not going to make it. Pray to God he clears waivers and they can keep him on the practice squad because somebody will take him and probably turn him into a star, but I don't think he's going to make the team. But yeah, that was their wide receiver one at Miami, so you can't blame the man for leaving.
He said, I don't want to play with Carson Beck. I saw what he did with Arian Smith.
It's just like, that is such a miscategorization of why he chose Alabama.
If you are a message board lurker, some people suggest that Isaiah Horton was tampered with by the Crimson Tide throughout last year's season.
Believe that wholeheartedly.
Oh, no.
I believe everyone everywhere is tampering with people throughout the entire season.
They're tampering. Alabama's not.
Ole Miss was tampering with Jalen Ogbuckway throughout the entire season last
probably
year.
Probably fair.
Georgia was probably tampering with the Branch Twins throughout all last season.
Probably
fair. It happens everywhere.
Probably fair.
And because it happens everywhere, I would hope that Alabama's getting in on it. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
No one's cheating here. Want to come to Alabama. Well, and obviously you do want
to
come to Alabama.
He did want to come to Alabama, but not because Ty Simpson was going to be the quarterback. He wanted to come to Alabama because he gets to wear that crimson A, and he gets to say, I'm an Alabama player, and I'm going into the NFL draft, and that gets you a lot of points.
Watch me on national TV every single week.
Bingo. I'm not relegated to the ACC network at 11 a.m.
Where I don't have the ACC network. I have a big cable package, but I don't have the ACC network. Yeah. I had to, I know Hunter DeSiver watches the program every morning in the summertime or late spring, early summer. I was helping doing a Boston College baseball game, helping. And it was on ACC Network. I might have had to spend the 3 hours in Hunter's bedroom because he had ACC Network and we did not have it in the living room. I was like, keep the bed clean, keep the room clean. Don't let the dog in here. I don't want to mess with my man's stuff. But yeah, ACC Network, we got to get off that and get on the national TV. Isaiah Horton said, oh, y'all are on ESPN? Y'all are on ABC, big boy ABC? Yeah, I'm going to go over there.
Yeah, I just don't think that Ty Simpson being wasn't even named the starter at that point, mind you. I don't think that had anything to do with this decision.
Let's take another voicemail of Philip Ditkall. So let's hit him right here on the voicemail. And thank you so much for joining us, Philip. I appreciate you watching us. I think that he has got himself a little podcast as well that he's starting, a little shorter. It's the Tide Deck. So check out his work on the Tide Deck. Let's click that button, share video file. Let's bring in this next voicemail.
I'm going to try to call in more often and get with you guys, but I really like this depth on this team. It's quality depth, and the reason I think it's so good quality is you've got leadership capabilities out the yin-yang. You've got 12 guys on this team that are named to postseason awards, and to have 12 is kind of unheard of. We've had some teams in years past where We've had a lot of guys named the various awards, but 12, I can't remember. I just can't remember a time like that. So that leadership alone right there on both sides of the ball should pay tremendous dividends. I'd be surprised if it doesn't. So Alabama, not only do they have good depth numbers-wise, they've got leadership depth. Leadership depth. How many teams can say that? I think it'd be far-fetched to find anybody that rivals those numbers on postseason awards. But hope to call back soon, Joe. Thanks.
Philip, thank you so much for calling us, and I really do appreciate you hanging in there and joining us, and I encourage everybody to check out his new project. I know he was tweeting about that the other day. The Tide Deck is where that is as well, so we appreciate him jumping in and joining us. And yeah, let's look at these. We really haven't done the awards list trackers on this whole summer on the show, but our man Hunter DeCyber has been writing it for BamaCentral.com, and I'm just going to spin right through these, and you can just at the end of them tell us which ones you like. Who do you think's most likely to win said award? Lombardi Award goes to the most outstanding college football lineman on either side of the ball. Alabama has Parker Brailsford, Tim Keenan, Deontay Lawson, and Caden Proctor named to the list on August 12th. The Bednarik Award goes to the Defensive Player of the Year. Deontay Lawson and Tim Keenan both named to the list on August 11th. The Mackey Award goes to the best tight end in the country. Alabama's never had one, despite Ozzie Newsome being a bad dude. He was more of a split end at that time. But Mackey Award, Josh Cuevas, named to the list on August 8th. The Remington Trophy goes to the most outstanding center in college football. Parker Brailsford was named to the list August 8th. Landon Dickerson won the award in 2020. You see Landon Dickerson out there with some beards.
Love that. I mean, football guy is as football guy does. You know, I love it.
Absolutely. He said, I'm a little hurt right now, but I'm going to bring the beers after practice. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to bring the beers after practice.
That had the same energy as the, you know, halftime cigarette picture that everybody brings up once a year.
Absolutely. The Biletnikoff Award goes to the best pass catcher. Ryan Williams and Jeremy Bernard were named to the list August the 6th. The Doak Walker, best running back in the country, Jam Miller, named to the list August 5th. The Manley Award, best long snapper in the country, named for Patrick Manley, great Chicago Bear.
Legend.
David Byrd named to the list August 4th. Walter Camp named to the nation's top overall player. Ryan Williams was one of 45 players all named to the list August 4th. The Paul Hornung Award named for the most versatile player in college football. Ryan Williams named to the list July 31st. The Warfel Trophy, the premier award for community service. LT Overton was named to the list on July 31st. The Butkus Award, the top linebacker, Justin Jefferson and Deontay Lawson, named to the list July 30th. The Outland Trophy for the top interior linemen, Caden Proctor and Parker Brailsford and Jaden Roberts, named to the list July 29th. The Nagurski Award, the top defensive player in the country, LT Overton and Tim Keenan and Deontay Lawson, named to the list on July 29th. The Maxwell Award, College Football's Player of the Year, Ryan Williams, named to the list July 28th. The Dodd Trophy, the Coach of the Year, Coach Kalen DeBoer, named to the list on July 7th. And the Lott Impact Trophy, named for the most outstanding defensive player. Impact is an acronym for integrity, maturity, performance, academic, community, and tenacity. Linebacker Deontay Lawson and defensive lineman / bandit LT Overton named to the list May 28th.
I feel good about some of the offensive line ones. Mm-hmm. I think Parker Brailsford maybe has a shot to win that. The center?
Center is Remington.
Remington. I'm intrigued by Caden Proctor making the watch list for the interior offensive lineman. He is not an interior offensive lineman.
That's a little, there's gray areas there.
Yeah, there always is. And it's bothered me for my whole life. It's just, you know, it's the edge rusher, defensive line, Pat, whatever, you know, it's that whole thing. Kind of the same thing where there's always these weird gray areas with these awards when they try to name them, and then players are kind of hybrids and, you know, whatever. Ryan Williams being, what is it, the most versatile player? That was a bit intriguing as well.
He's
only ever played on the offense. A little bit of returning. I don't think he's going to do any of that this year, though. I think he will be exclusively a wide receiver. So I don't necessarily see him taking that award.
He'll get about 10 carries, though.
Yeah, probably.
10 jet sweep carries types.
I think him and Jeremy Bernard will probably cannibalize each other a bit for the Biletnikoff. The offensive line is where I think you've got the best chance to clean up in some of these awards, though.
Award watch list. That makes my head explode.
I think the linebackers you're probably going to struggle with. There's some really good linebackers in the country. Ugh. But yeah, I feel good about the offensive line.
No Thorpe Award watch list. Like, what are y'all not watching this defensive backfield? I guess you're not.
Right. Okay. I had to refresh myself. I always forget whatever the reward is. Thorpe is yes.
Well, when you play college football, EA Sports all day, you get familiarized with the awards.
But Damani Jackson should absolutely be up there.
Bray should be on the watch. Sure. I mean, they don't have to win it, but it's like a 60-person list. It's like an 80-person list. Like, you can be, they're one of the top, 30, 50 defensive backs in the country. But to Phillip's point, and I think Phillip makes a great point, talking about the leadership on the team, basically saying these award watch lists basically is an indicator of how strong the leadership is. That's really a lot of what we've heard as fall camp started. You know, with fall camp, we got to kind of be in there just a little before fall camp, and they acknowledge the strong personalities of Malachi Moore, Jalen Milroe, and Tyler Booker last year as three strong leaders. But also, like, on one hand, that's a huge positive. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, there was a little bit of a negative because they were such strong leaders that their voice drowned out everyone else's. Yeah. And basically, you know, you're following or get the heck out of here. I think when those three departed, and I hope they all have great NFL careers, I think they all laid it all on the line for Alabama. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to say anything negative about those three. I'm really not. But I think when those three departed, it opened a void of in the leadership department. And instead of having one or two, like, hey, I'm the guy, you've got a lot of people well, I've got to say something here. Yep. Well, I've got to say something here. Well, it's not my turn to speak. It's his turn to speak. And he speaks and everybody listens. And it's kind of like a bigger conglomerate of leadership and a bigger conglomerate of, hey, you know, we're all in this boat together. And, you know, I do think the leadership as a whole is stronger on the 2025 team.
You know what it makes me think of? You remember PJ Fleck, the like we all row thing? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it makes me think of. And, you know, I thought that was cheesy. I still kind of think it's cheesy. But it is like a great way, excuse me, to build a football team. Because while it is nice to have, you know, very vocal leaders, guys who, you know, like everybody turns to and looks to him for an answer, that's awesome.
Pause real quick. When that one person is
Tom Brady,
head hanging. Well, when that one person is on sidelines, head hanging low.
Golly,
I hate to say that, but like, let's look at the objectively. When Jalen was doing great, the whole team was doing great.
Yep.
And it's rah rah rah, we're kicking LSU's rear end, rah rah rah, and LSU had no chance in that game, zero. But when bleeps hitting the fan, and the leader's hanging his head, the leader's in the oh man, this isn't going so well, it's tough for the rest of the team. Yeah. But when you have a lot of players and one person hangs their head because, man, I missed a read, or man, I missed a tackle, or and the other leaders are, head up, buddy. You know the basketball meme where the guy misses the free throw and his teammate picks his head up and says, no, pick his head up, and they walk up. Like, it's that. It's, yeah. I missed my free throw. Well, that's okay. Next play. Come on. We're all in this together. We're all rowing. Grab your oar, buddy. I've got my oar. Grab your oar. We still need you to row.
Yeah, this. I mean, it's like, it felt like on last year's team. So many times, guys were just kind of afraid to speak up.
Malachi Moore crashing out at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Tell him to calm down. I can't tell him to go. Hey, man, we still need you.
You know, you went from having like two or three guys, like you said, to now you've probably got a guy for each position group that is like a big time leader, and they all work collaboratively together to achieve a common goal. And that's teamwork. Like, that is exactly what you want out of your football team. I think that was a very, very big point of emphasis this offseason, was getting all of that lined up, because you can't go anywhere as a program until you kind of have that figured out.
So I appreciate Philip giving us a phone call, really a whole lot, and hope you call us again, Philip. Anytime, you can use that voicemail line, 205-462-7340, extension 800. I really hope to get it going during games when Alabama scores, when Alabama gives up a score at halftime, at postgame. Give us your reactions to what's going on with the game, 205-462-7340. Extension 800. We've gone a long way, which I appreciate and I love. We're gonna hit a commercial real quick. We'll tell you about the Northport Lions Club Health Fair next Saturday. Join us right there at St. Mark Church. We'll say a couple nice things about Derek Daniel at State Farm, and we'll come back and we'll finish the program by talking about Florida State's offensive line.
Northport Lions Club and St. Mark Church present a free health fair in honor of Dr. Norman and Jean Carlson Saturday, August 23rd, 8:30 till noon. That'll be in the St. Mark Family Life Center. Northport citizens can get free eye, hearing, and blood pressure screenings, diabetes testing, and more. Now, the first 100 people get a free biscuit and free Domino's pizza slices will be served at 11, along with free snow cones and drinks from Buffalo Rock. Sponsors include Alabama Lions Psych, Ascent Audiology, DCEH Regional Medical Center, West Alabama Food Bank, Special Olympics, Northport Police Department, U of A Institute for Rural Health, the Alabama Department of Public Health, and others. A Northport Fire Department truck will be on site, and there will be lots of fun kids' activities. The Northport Lions St. Mark Health Fair. See you Saturday, August 23rd.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Give the gift that everyone wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Save on USDA-certified tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, perfectly aged ribeyes, gourmet sides, and decadent desserts, delivered right to their door. Skip the stress. Order now at omahasteaks.com. That's omahasteaks.com, and use code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout to get an extra $35 off. Hurry, these deals won't last. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
And we are back right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, brought to you by Derek Daniel State Farm Insurance right here in Northport. You can call us at 205-462-7340. That's our voicemail line. You can call Derek Daniel at 205-758-3391. Home, life, and auto insurance. For all your insurance needs, Derek Daniel is here to call and see how much he can save you today. We'll have Theo tell you on Monday how much money he saved him. I think he saved him about $100 a month on car insurance. So if you haven't had a quote done recently, you know, car insurance, it just gets auto debited out of your account. Mason, I know it does. Melissa, y'all got two cars. I know it just getting auto debited out of your account. And so it's like, that's the bill. It is what it is. Call and check on it. 205-758-3391. And you take 5 minutes, you give them the VIN number, and they're like, here's the number. And you're like, that's either better or worse. And it probably is going to be better. Save you some money. Get you at least another dinner or two out per month. 205-758-3391. So we've had a lot of fun today on the program. And I want to close it by getting us started looking at Florida State. And look, we didn't know your enemy a couple different times in the summer. We hit most of the teams. We didn't hit them all, but we hit most of the teams because we kind of got lost right around SEC Media Days as far as keeping that going. But Florida State in 2024 had a very bad offensive line, allowing 49 sacks and averaging 89 rushing yards a game. I have sacks allowed per game. Where are they on this list here at 49? Oh, my gosh. So 49 puts them
three and a half a game
past 100. We're on the third page now. Oh, Oh.
My math's just horrible.
No, you're right. It's four per game.
Okay.
49 sacks. There are 133 teams in college football. Allowing 49 sacks puts you where? I'm on the third page.
133.
Yeah, they are the 133rd, the last team. 130. Did I say 139? There's 133 teams on this rankings, and they are 133.
That's crazy.
Last.
Now, I do not, I unfortunately don't think that.
In sacks per game. So, no, okay. So total sacks, they're second to last in front of California and Oklahoma.
Because they both played a bowl game,
yes,
I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Cal and Oklahoma played 13 games. Florida State played 12. In 12 games, they gave up 49 sacks, 4.08 sacks per game.
Yeah, that's atrocious. However, I don't believe much of that applies to this year's team.
Mm.
Because you go out and you bring in a massive transfer portal class.
Yeah, all on the line.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have brought in an entirely new offensive line. I don't even know that really many of last year's team is going to be starting this year.
We'll start with the transfers because there are four transfers that are expecting to start for the Florida State Seminoles. And one of them knows how to beat Alabama right off the bat. Left tackle, Gunnar Hansen, right transfers in from Vanderbilt. 35 career starts at Vanderbilt, reliable in pass protection and run blocking, though he's recovering from a shoulder injury. His experience is expected to stabilize the left edge.
Diego Pavia took too much of that money. They couldn't keep him around.
That's probably, yes. Florida State said, you beat Alabama last year?
Mm-hmm.
Come cash
Tell
in.
Tell us what you did.
Yes, come cash in. Adrian Medley, the next guy, left guard, is expected to start at left guard, redshirt senior. Oh, let's give you height and weight on Gunnar Hansen. Gunnar Hansen, 6'5", 325.
Big boy.
Adrian Medley, again, 6'5", 309, transfers in from UCF, rejoins Gus Malzahn and the new offensive line coach, Herb Hand, comes in with Gus Malzahn. So you bring in Malzahn, you bring in Malzahn's offensive line coach, and you bring in their left guard from last year, Adrian Medley. So consistent physical, strong run blocking grades, B+ in both run and pass blocking. Familiarity with the coaching staff gives him an edge, a plug-and-play starter that can provide cohesion and leadership to the interior of the offensive line. Big guy.
Big boys.
I mean, if you're going to improve from 2-10, this is how you do it. Improving the offensive line. You move on. Center, Luke Pettibon, redshirt senior. Like, all these guys are old men as well. Redshirt senior, Luke Pettibon, 6'2", 310 pounds, transfers in from Wake Forest. 22 starts at Wake Forest. The other guy, Medley, started 12 games last year at UCF. Mm-hmm. 22 starts for Wake Forest, making him the top transfer portal addition. Vocal leader with strong technical skills, particularly pass protection, A+ pass pro grade. Experience should help stabilize. Pettibon is expected to be the heartbeat of the offensive line, providing stability after Florida State struggles at center in 2024. You keep going. Right guard, the only returning starter for Florida State, I believe. Richie Leonard IV. Is that how you have it as well? Mm-hmm. Returning starter?
Yeah.
Returning starter was productive before a season-ending injury in 2024. Mm-hmm. Versatile and consistent, solid grades, both run and pass blocking, B-plus grade. His leadership was evident as he represented Florida State. I believe he was part of the ACC Media Days contingent. Health and consistency make him the cornerstone of the interior offensive line. Keep going, right tackle Micah Pettis, redshirt senior. All these old ass men. Mm-hmm. 6'7", 349 pounds, transfers in from Ole Miss. 29 career starts at right tackle, earning All-American honors at Ole Miss. Dominant run blocker, size and mobility, though he had penalty and injury issues in the spring.
Spring from of my this neck year. Of the woods up in the 256.
There we go, 256. We love it. What high school do you have it?
Smartman.
Okay, there we go. Smartman Warriors?
Senators.
There you go.
We played them in baseball one time, and they set a state record for how bad they beat us.
Ooh.
I believe, if I recall correctly, it was something like 50-2, something 50-something to 2 in baseball.
Also bring in transfer from Harvard, 6'5", 310, Jacob Rizzi, veteran in 2024, Rizzi valuable backup in center. You got Lucas Simmons, former four-star recruit. You got a lot of other guys, kind of younger. Florida State, 89 rushing yards a game last year. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. I did the math earlier. If you took Jalen Milroe's rushing yards away from Alabama last year in every game, Jalen averaged 55.8 rushing yards a game. Alabama averaged 173. So that's about roughly 118 or so. So you took, like, how was Alabama's running game without Jalen Milroe? Not so hot. 118 rushing yards a game. Florida State's was worse. 89 rushing yards a game.
That's really, really, really bad.
Yeah. Oh,
that's really bad. But again, I don't know how much we can even glean from last year's team.
They bring in 105 combined starts through the transfer portal.
Golly. Is this a Joe Moore unit? This feels like a Joe Moore unit.
They're going to try.
This feels like this offensive line is going to be really good.
And they got our man, Roydell Williams.
This is a very good offensive line. This is going to give Alabama some problems. I mean, I think, objectively speaking, this is a good offensive line. I think it is, you know, possibly the strongest point on this team, even, you know. It's going to give Alabama some headaches. You know, we are going to week one see what this defensive front is made of.
Yeah,
you know,
we've talked
a lot about these defensive linemen and what we need to see from them this year. We will find out week one whether they're the real deal or not, because they're playing probably what will be one of the best offensive lines in college football.
No, it's good. I mean, I wonder if it's going to take a little bit of time to have the cohesion come in.
Yeah.
But as far as experience and strength and size, they got it. They got it right. They got it in droves. And I don't necessarily. What's your opinion of Roydell?
What's Roydell player? Was a fine player.
Yes.
That's about all. You know, I think there's a reason he's not here any longer. I'll say that. You know, not anything against him necessarily, but I think that there, you know, there's just a reason he is not still in an Alabama uniform.
Yeah. And I'm with you there. I don't think anything special, but he's a mean son of a gun.
Yeah. He runs hard.
That's that. Yeah. So you probably
run well behind a good offensive line.
You're going to have to bring your pad level. You're going to have to bring your pad level and bring your feet to tackle Roydell Williams. I don't necessarily think that he's going to burn you with speed, and I don't necessarily think he's going to juke anybody out of their shoes. But if you are tackling Roydell Williams high, if you are not with proper pad level, then you could tackle Roydell, yeah, but you're also getting driven three yards back as he is falling forward. He's going to fall forward for 2 to 3, 4 more yards.
Yeah, I think the offense has to get out to a pretty good jump, because he is the type of running back that will just wear you down throughout a game. And by the fourth quarter, nobody wants to tackle him, and then he breaks one. So, you know, I think you just have to play. You have to play good on defense, but I think the offense needs to be able to, you know, and kind of get you a lead that the defense can then hold.
Mm. I'm still 2 weeks out in the camp that it's going to be an ugly first half.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I could very well see it being like a 10-7, 7-6. You know, yes, going into halftime, and you know, by the end of the game, I think I feel fairly confident Alabama probably wins by 2 scores or so, but it'll be a little ugly for a little bit.
Yeah, you're going to get hit with a gash, and they'll be on the 40-yard. They'll be on your 40-yard line. You're thinking, golly, we just gave up a 25-yard run, because missed run fit turns into two missed tackles.
Yeah. That's a perfect way to lay that out, exactly how that snowballs.
And then you buckle down and you get a stop, and they kick a 46-yard field goal or something, and it's 3-0 or whatever the case may be. And then it's, well, the offense, Alabama's offense goes 5 and out. You know, you get a first down, then 3 and out. So you've moved the ball just a little. You punted it back, and then it's another 1,000 cuts later, and they're kicking another 37-yard field goal. It's 6-0. And Alabama gets a drive going or hits a big play. Boom, it's 7-6. You know, I just think it can be. I think it's going to be at least in that first half, like sitting in the dentist chair, and you're having some work done that you don't like. But you know, once he yanks those teeth out, your mouth will be healthier.
Yeah, I mean, I think this team feels, at least just judging off of the way that the attitude and everything that you kind of see in the press conferences and the interviews, like, I think this team's pretty good about themselves. I think they're pretty confident. They all feel good about the way that they have gelled together this offseason and everything. They've only done it against themselves. Everything is a little different when you get hit in the mouth for the first time. So I think while I think that they're ready, and I don't think Alabama is a soft football team by any means, when you do get hit in the mouth, though, it's going to be a bit shocking. And getting hit from a guy that wants to hit you as opposed to a guy that is having to hit you in practice is a little different.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a trip into the pain cave. How deep can you go? Can you sit in the pain cave, Alabama? And I think they can. I do think they can. Yeah. But when you are in the pain cave, sometimes things don't go right. So, like, if you're watching the game, don't immediately go on Twitter and, oh, Kane Womack can't call anything. No, oh,
please immediately come to my replies and tell me, I'm worried about Ty Simpson. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's going to be a trip into the pain cave, at least for the first half. And then you're going to go into halftime and have some adjustments. And ABC, 1-2-3, Alabama's talent will prevail.
I want to see, and I don't know that we'll really even get the biggest glimpse of it week one because, you know, like you said, it's still going to take some time for this defensive line to mesh. But, you know, it feels like last year we saw a lot of, like, trying to scheme guys into opportunities to get sacks.
Oh, yes.
As opposed to guys just dominating up front. And I want to see what that mix is this year with this defensive line, because I do think you have guys who can just dominate and win one-on-ones. But that's, you know, you still have the option to scheme guys. Like, you can still scheme guys into sacks. Like, that's still there. I just want to see how they're doing, you know, how they're kind of doing that this year. I'm very interested.
All right, so we got to get out of here for the day. We've been running too much of your time already. I appreciate everybody who watched us on the YouTube channel. I'll see you notes. I'll get to you in just a second. Everybody who watched us on the YouTube channel, on the Facebook page, Bama Central's Facebook page, on the Twitter machine, you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, and Spotify. Tune in to us on All Things Bama. We're going to do another 40 minutes of Mason's content here. We're going to find out who this recruit is that Mason is excited about, super excited about. I do know his name. His name is going on the all-name team already. So I cannot wait to hear what he did to impress Mason. What you got before we get out of here?
I may have to adjust my take on Adidas as an athletic equipment supplier. Ooh, now, I do think that they are still firmly behind Nike, but I think that they've surpassed Under Armour, and they're probably firmly in second place now.
Okay.
Over the last 2 days, I have seen two of the newest uniforms that they've released for their Adidas schools, Texas Tech being probably one of their flagship ones, doing some their little throwback, and it's gorgeous. Like, they have, you know, they have finally figured out how to make their jerseys not look stupid, where they're like skin tight and they all look like they're a size or two too small. Now they actually look like football jerseys. They're sweet. And then now I've seen this morning Mississippi State has unveiled their blackout uniform, which they've been keeping secret for a while, and I mean it's beautiful. So I'm disappointed a little bit because I wanted Tennessee to have to wear ugly uniforms again.
But
I think the Vols will unfortunately look pretty sweet decked out in the Adidas.
You can't look sweet in that nasty color orange.
We'll have to see what the Smoky Grays look like. That'll be the true test.
Amen.
This year's they're not going out on a good note with Nike with this year's Smoky Grays. I don't know how many people, you know, I'm a big uniform guy, so I'm always super up to date with it. But for anyone that has seen this year's edition, they're not going to be very, very good looking.
Well, we will keep up with that right here on the Joe Gaither Show. We're going to be in the Bryant Denny Stadium press room tomorrow. Be sure to check out the Bama Central YouTube channel to keep up with Kalen DeBoer, head coach Kalen DeBoer's press conference. And we'll do a short little reaction, as we did last week, to everything that we heard on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We had a great time with you this week. We appreciate everybody who joined us on the comment section at MAWoods_ at JoeGaither6, who left us a voicemail, 205-462-7340, extension 800. We'll talk to you on Monday on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Give the gift that everyone wants, Omaha Steaks.
Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Save on USDA-certified tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, perfectly aged ribeyes, gourmet sides, and decadent desserts delivered right to their door. Skip the stress. Order now at omahasteaks.com. That's omahasteaks.com, and use code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout to get an extra $35 off. Hurry, these deals won't last. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.